God, thanks for your word. Thanks for just, a beacon of truth that we have, we can find, the truth that we can find in the words you've given us. And I pray that you'd help me to communicate these truths clearly, and more than just clearly, in a way that really represents who you are. Because we know that at times people can have agendas, that are not the same as yours. And Father, help that not be the case today. Lord, may I preach and teach really faithfully. And I pray that you'd soften our hearts. So I believe it's a spiritual encounter and an experience that happens when we are in your word, when we're just trying to learn about you and get to know you more. And Father, so I ask that your spirit would soften our hearts and open them so that these words would make sense, not just not just like logically or not, they would not just be persuasive words, but God, that they would touch our hearts, that they would touch the core of our being, and we really know you a little bit more in a way that really is truthful. So help us, God, be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, today's Mother's Day. When I think about my mom, word that comes to mind is forgiveness. Okay, any amens in here? No? All right. I guess not. I think about forgiveness, it's a two-way street. One, I think I had to forgive my mom for a lot of stuff. But, dude, my mom, I was a good son in some ways, not the best son in many ways. My mom showed me a lot of forgiveness. And Mother's Day, what happens? We meet with family. Maybe we don't. But I think anything that has to do with family, there's a lot of, it's painful, guys. Family is painful. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, at least we can, agree on the pain that we experience, right? Family can be, it's painful, guys. A lot of pain there when it comes to our family experiences. And maybe you're going to gather with your family today, and maybe you're already a little stressed out. Maybe you've been stressed out. You're anxious, or maybe you're mad. I don't know what it is, or you're sad. So I thought, I want to talk about forgiveness today. So I think we need a lot of that. We need to receive it and give it when it comes to our families. But what does it look like to forgive as a Christian? What does Christian forgiveness look like? I think it's like for some of us, that's like a very, I already know this, and you're going to tune out, and I really challenge you, not to do that, because I think that we forget, I don't know what it is, but we don't practice Christian forgiveness, actually. There's many times where, maybe even just our cognitive understanding of what it looks like to forgive, the way that Jesus taught us to forgive, I think for a lot of us, it's kind of off. Or we have misunderstandings. And there's a lot of other, ideologies and a lot of our family culture and, how we were raised. And a lot of things that we've experienced are kind of mixed in to our understanding of what it looks like to forgive and how we actually then practice our forgiveness of other people or forgiveness. And prime example of that, I think, I sometimes don't know how to react when someone cuts me off on the road. Because I feel like I know what Jesus would do. And I feel like I know what would be a Christian thing to do. But at the same time, it's like, nah, that's not right. This guy needs to know what's up. Because he committed the worst sin possible. And it's just wrong for me just to let this go. And I thought some terrible things. I mean, I'm talking I don't know if you guys have driven down to the 57 from here. 22 to the 57. And there's always traffic. There's always a line of cars. And being a good citizen, being the good citizen that I am, I get in the lane, the correct lane, very early, and I wait. Okay? That's what you're supposed to do. But being a just citizen, right, I make sure to tailgate the guy in front of me so no one can get in. But hey, no one's perfect. And there are times when I miss the timing, and I swear, you let 10 feet of space in, and a car will find its way in there. And that happens, and I just get so angry. And bad thoughts come into my mind. Like, I'm like, all right, should I just ram into his car? Like, I mean, insurance can probably cover most of it. Like, my premium might go up, but it's probably worth it. You know, and I had this crazy and awesome idea. I was like, dude, you know what I should do? Every time someone does that, I'm going to get out of the lane and do the exact same thing to him. Isn't that, that's a good idea, right? And all these thoughts come into my mind. And that's just one example. And I realize that's a small example. That's kind of a silly example. But what happens, like, it's a lot more complicated when it's stuff like family relationships, friends, coworkers, you know, just people you encounter. Like, you know, people who are really messed up. People who say mean things to you. Like, man, like, do I have to forgive them? What does that look like? I think we don't have all those answers sometimes, or at least I think we have trouble maybe practicing Christ-like forgiveness. So I want to talk about that today. And I think a good example, a perfect example, is just seen in Matthew chapter 18, the book of Matthew. So I want you guys to turn there. Matthew chapter 18. And to give you a little background while you guys are looking, Jesus is talking about several things. One of the things he talks about is, well, how do you deal with, like, conflict in the church? You know, someone's, like, kind of committing a wrong against you, and something pretty serious. Like, how do you deal with it? And Jesus teaches this model where rather than seeking retribution or revenge or punishment, what you should ultimately be seeking is the end goal becomes reconciliation and restoration. And I think this is very countercultural, especially, like, as Jesus is teaching this, I feel like his disciples, his followers are listening, and they're like, man, this is kind of different from what I'm used to. And so Peter asks Jesus this question in response to that teaching. And it starts in verse 21, Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. It reads like this in verse 1. Then Peter came up and said to him, "So Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" And so I think that's kind of where we're at a lot of times in our lives. Peter's like, all right, I get it. So you want me to be like really gracious and forgiving, but like, what does that look like? You know, how many times? How many times before it's just too much? How many times before I'm just enabling this person? And, you know, it's just like unhealthy. I think these are things we often ask ourselves, like, you know, no, like, I want to forgive him, but it's not right. He deserves some kind of punishment. Or she deserves some kind of punishment. I think that's what Peter's essentially saying. So, like, what does that look like? How many times? How many times before I just say, whatever, I'm done with you? Or, like, you know what, screw you. You deserve, you know, bad things to happen to you. Whatever it is. And this is how Jesus responds. "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven times." Or some of your translations read 77 times. In either case, it's a play on words. The point there, it's idiomatic language that Jesus is using. He's not saying, so count 770 times, or I'm sorry, 490 times, right? Of course, Irene would laugh at my math mistake, right? She's like, what an idiot. It's not 490 times. The point there is you don't count. No, he's like, Peter, it's not seven times, it's 70 times seven. It's like saying, you don't, there's not a limit to your forgiveness. And so to explain this, he tells a story. And we're not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to kind of go through the main points and explain it to you guys so you get the story. Jesus says, let me tell you the story. And he says, first, the kingdom of heaven in verse 23. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to this story. And so that's really crazy that Jesus says that. He's essentially saying forgiveness is such an important part of being a Christian, being someone who follows Jesus. It's so important to being a part of like this new life, way of life, this new culture that Jesus calls the kingdom, in which Jesus is the king and we follow him and we live like him and love like him. He says it's so essential to this. That he doesn't just say this is what forgiveness looks like. He says this is what the kingdom is like. The kingdom of God, the culture of God's kingdom, of being a Christian, the culture that we're trying to bring into this world and change the world and make it a better place and show God's love, bring people life and healing and just restoration. That culture, it's so wedded to forgiveness that Jesus says, the kingdom is like this. Just a question before we even continue. Do you reflect that culture in your own life? Like where forgiveness, you're just a person of grace, of forgiveness. Does our church show that? You know, I pray that people could walk into this, our gatherings, whether it's on Sundays or wherever it is that we are, and people could say, man, they are forgiving people. They are gracious people. It's important. It's that important. And so anyway, Jesus tells us a story, and basically in the story, there's a king and there's a servant. And the servant owes the king this amount of money, 10,000 talents, okay? What does that mean, 10,000 talents? It's like this monetary, you know, measurement. One talent measures approximately 20 years' worth of wages, okay? So that's one talent. So probably not many of us have worked for 20 years or maybe just barely 20 years. Probably, I think none of us have worked for 20 years. So imagine if all the wealth that we accumulated during that 20-year time period, we didn't spend it on anything, we just saved, and all that money that you would have after 20 years is one talent. This guy somehow owes a king 10,000 talents. So that's 200,000 years of working and saving and just, you know, of money. That's a lot. It's an amount that no one can repay, obviously. Okay, that's the point. And what happens, though, the king sees this guy, and the guy's like, look, I'm sorry, just give me some more time to pay you back. And the king's like, dude, this is really sad. He has compassion, and he forgives him. He lets him go. All right, and the guy's super happy. He goes off, and then the first thing he does in this story, he goes to his buddy who owes him 100 denarii. Denarii is another unit of measurement. Denarii, one denarii is approximately one day's worth of wages, okay? So it's like working one day. So 100 denarii is also a lot of money, but obviously incomparable to 10,000 talents. This guy goes, okay, I'm going to go to my buddy who owes me 100 denarii. He's like, pay up. The guy's like, I'm sorry, I don't have the money right now. Give me some more time. The guy who got forgiven gets mad. He says, you're going to jail until you can pay me back. And he puts him in jail. Other friends see this and they're like, dude, that's messed up. That's super messed up. They tell the king. King gets really mad and punishes the first guy. And see, in the beginning and the end, we see how much God cares about forgiveness, about us forgiving each other. And that gives me a lot of peace. You know why? Because I'm going to be honest with you guys. I have so many flaws. I'm such an imperfect person in so many ways. Everyone in here, if you've spent some time with me, you know this by now. I'm really scatterbrained to the point where, and I've been saying this a lot, but I'm not joking. I really think I have adult ADHD. Okay, and it's not a joke. I've taken tests online, which I know they're not like super, you know, accurate, but I score super high. You know, so if I've ever done anything wrong to you, it's because of that. Okay, no, it's not. I'm just kidding. That's a terrible excuse, but. All to say, I'm very flawed. I make so many mistakes in my relationships with people, doing my job as a pastor. I goof up all the time. But I feel like when I read passages like this, when I read the Bible, I feel like God's kind of saying to me, dude, it's okay. Like, I get it. You're not perfect. I forgive you. Just one thing that I want you to do. Just know that I forgive you, and just like forgive other people when they do something to you. Just share that generosity. Just extend that grace. Extend that love. And that gives me a lot of peace. And I think that's really what, when it comes down to it, that's like almost essentially what being a Christian is. It's not like just not doing stuff. Or like, dude, you know, why'd you do that last night? I don't think that was wise. Like, yeah, we should care about those things, but ultimately it's about love and loving people the way that God has loved us. Not loving people just for the sake of love, not just because it's a good principle. No, but because God has loved us. in such an amazing way. And we see that here. It's just, I want to just talk about a couple observations that we see from this passage other than that. The first one is this. Love is not being apathetic. I think a lot of us equate love and forgiveness with apathy. And I think especially in our culture where tolerance is such a big deal. Tolerance is such a big deal to the point where we are very intolerant of anybody, I feel like, who kind of makes any bold claims. Anytime someone says, I really believe this, and I think my belief says that your belief is wrong, I think that actually bothers us a lot. Because we've kind of associated any kind of like clear convictions about something, and even sharing those beliefs, with a lot of hatred and judgment. That does happen a lot, and that's really shameful. And Christians should not be like that. No one should be like that. But really believing something doesn't mean that you have to, and even believing that someone else is wrong, even believing that your view is more correct than someone else's view, that's not hating somebody. That's you having belief. That's you having an opinion. And I actually think that's really admirable. You know, I remember the Hongs told me about these, remember that guy who stayed at your house, the Jewish guy, Airbnb? And this guy was like so strict about his belief, about Sabbath. And so a lot of these really conservative Orthodox Jews, they won't like use electricity because it has to do with like, they think it's like the same thing as like kindling a fire or starting a fire. And so that's considered work. And in Jewish tradition, you can't work on the Sabbath. So this guy's at their house, and I think he asked you guys like to turn on a light switch or something for him. You know, that's pretty weird, right? At the same time, hey, I respect him. I don't agree with him. I think that's wrong. Like, as in like, I think his interpretation of the Bible is wrong, but I respect him for really believing what he believes. I can do that. We live in a culture today where it's like, hey, you know, like, I believe this, but I'm not right. Like, you're right too. Everyone's right. We're all about that. And that's cool in some ways. But I think what happens is it makes us kind of lazy when it comes to loving people. And we're all like, yeah, I forgive you. Hey, I'm cool with that. Dude, you did that. Everything's cool. But really, all we become is apathetic. And it's just very passive. And like, it's like, I don't love you, but I forgive you. Just, you know, just don't come near me. You do your thing. I'm very fine with everything you're doing. I don't mind, but just, you know, you do your life and I do my life. Apathy is not forgiveness. It's not just not caring. We see that here where the servant comes. I'm going to read verse 26. So the servant fell on his knees imploring the king, have patience with me and I'll pay you everything. An empty promise. He cannot pay him back. The king knows this. And yet instead of getting angry at that empty response, you know, where people are like, I'm sorry. And you're like, man, I don't know if this person means it. And that bugs us. And we're like, does this person mean it? Do you mean it? We do that all the time. My sister said sorry to me about something. And she didn't even have to say sorry. I was being a big like jerk. And I was really grumpy and I was being moody. And she's like, hey, I'm sorry. And instead of just being like, I should have said, no, I'm sorry. Like, I'm being a jerk. But you know what I said? Why are you sorry? Explain yourself. Like, I need to know why you're sorry to make sure that you know what you did wrong, or else your sorry has no validation. That's how we are. This guy his sorry is so empty. I'll repay you 200,000 years worth of wages. Really. But what's the king's response? It's just saying in your translation that he either had pity or compassion for him. You have compassion for this guy? And so the king forgives him and says, don't worry about it. You're forgiven. It's not apathy. It's not you're out of my life. It's forgiveness is about seeking reconciliation and restoration, seeking to love this person even after they've wronged you. Let me bless you, man. Like you've done this wrong, but I have pity on you. And not pity like you look down on someone. That's not the same word. It has that element of compassion, which is why some translations use the word compassion. And I think the original word is a mix of both. It's like seeing this guy in his poor estate and saying, man, I'm sorry for you. I have genuine compassion for you. It's not just not caring. Sorry, guys, apathy is not forgiveness. So maybe you need to look at some of your relationships, some people in your lives who've hurt you. Just not caring about them is not forgiving them. That's not the way that Jesus taught us how to forgive. Second observation that we see, this guy, he didn't, the first guy, the first servant who owed 10,000 talents, he didn't, I think that what Jesus is showing us here is that he didn't get how much he had been forgiven of. He didn't understand how much he was in the wrong, how large the debt was that he owed. And this is really, I think, the key up to this passage. I think that's what Jesus is trying to show us. Peter's saying, how many times did I forgive this guy? And I think attached to that is like, and like, how and why? Why, Jesus? That's the question. It's like, so you're saying I just keep forgiving this guy? Why? You know, I read this paper. Gosh, I didn't write down his name. And he's a he does like comparative studies in religion. You know, studies religions, and he wrote this paper on. I'm so sorry, I forgot his name. He wrote this paper on the major world religions and how they teach on forgiveness. Okay, he's not a Christian guy, just a scholar, religious studies, and it's really fascinating. And basically, there's two ways to look at forgiveness, he would say. One is kind of a way to see it, but through the lens of justice, and the other side is see it through the lens of love. And like some of the major religions, all of them fall into either one of those two categories. Okay, so for example, he would say like Islam, Judaism, and Confucianism all fall into those categories, okay, where it's about justice. So, where is that quote? Okay, I don't have it, so I'll paraphrase. This is something Confucius said, okay? Confucius say, okay? This is something that Confucius said. This is a paraphrase. He basically said, if you treat those who have wronged you with love, how then will you treat those who have loved you? And so his point is this. If you're kind to your enemy, what's the point of doing anything? What are you going to do to people who are nice to you? And his point is you shouldn't be kind to your enemies. They deserve justice. If someone wrongs you, they should be punished. Like, and it's just not right. I think a lot of us actually agree with Confucius. And we live this out, like on the road. Like that's when I'm driving, all I think about is Confucius, you know? That's me. That's my God right there when I'm driving. It's Confucius. It's just Confucius. What would you do? Yeah, let's do it, you know? That's how I drive. And it makes sense. There's something in us that you know, agrees with that. And there's the other side, you know, like Hindu, Buddhism, and Christianity, where it's love your enemy. Love those who harm you. Love those who offend you. Okay? But it's cool because he breaks down the bases for those three religions and why they choose to do that. And he says this. He says, Buddhism, the basis for forgiveness in Buddhism is primarily, it's foundationally psychological. Meaning this, Buddhists would say, forgive others because it's good for you. It's good for your relationships. It's better to forgive than to hold on to bitterness. It's good for your relationships. It's good for you psychologically. For your psychological health, it's better to forgive. Because holding on to anger is actually not good for you. Okay? Hinduism, he says, the basis for forgiveness is metaphysical. Or another word for that, basically he's saying, it's just a principle. It's just the principle of forgiving is intrinsically good. So you should forgive people and love them because it's good. It doesn't matter what happens. It's not about psychological benefits. It's not about anything like that. It's not even about restoring your relationships. It's just good. Because it's good, you should seek to forgive people, okay, and love them even after they've wronged you, even after they've done bad things to you. And then he says, but in Christianity, the basis is theological, which means this. The reason that we forgive as Christians is because of God's example and how we relate with God. It has something to do with God. And that's what Jesus is saying in this passage. He's saying, why should you forgive? I'll tell you why. It's because of how much God has forgiven you. And I think we don't think about that a lot. I think often we're like this guy, and we don't understand how much we have been forgiven. And we use that to justify a lot of our anger. I want to say some things. First thing I'll say is this. Some of you guys have been through some serious pain. Like some bad things have happened to you. I'm not trying to minimize that. 100 denarii is not a little bit of money. Okay? For some of us, it's more than others. Any case, 100 days of working, I'm not going to... If you owe me, like, you know, 20 bucks, hey, I'll let it go. Even me, maybe 100 bucks, I might let it go. Anything beyond 100 bucks, though, I'm not going to forgive you, okay? Just so you guys know, all right? No, I'm just kidding, but... Seriously, 100 days worth of working, that's a lot of money. More than money is a lot of time spent into that amount of money. It's hard. The point here is this. Some of us have experienced real pain. God doesn't deny that. God's the first person to have a broken heart over whatever you've gone through. I promise you that. I promise you that the amount of pity that you have over yourself, the amount of rage that you have over whatever injustice has been committed to you, God has that much more as your Father. And that's why He calls Himself our Father. To kind of, you know, illustrate this, I think that the only thing worse than something really bad happening to me is something really bad happening to someone I really, really love, like if I had a kid. I think many parents would say, I would rather I die than my kid dies. A lot of people say that. The worst thing that can, Korean people say that all the time. It's the worst thing that can happen to someone is to see their child die as a parent. Isn't that true? God is so compassionate. He understands. I know we may think He doesn't, but I'm sorry to say this. At least according to the scriptures and according to what I've experienced in my relationship with God, it's not true. God understands. He cares even more than you care. That doesn't change the fact, however, that the amount that we have offended God is incomparably more than how much anyone has offended you. I'm not going to spend time like trying to explain that like philosophically or, you know, like or anything like that, but just think about that for a moment. And I feel like the first thing we may feel when I say that is, how can you say that? How is that true? I don't agree with that. And I think that's exactly what's happening in this story. Even though this guy's been forgiven of this immeasurable debt, he doesn't seem to have really understood the amount of grace that he's received. And so what does he do? He cannot then forgive his buddy who sinned against him. This is really important that we understand this for a lot of reasons. But the main reason is this. I think the worst feeling, actually, is when someone has wronged us and they don't acknowledge or understand how much they've wronged us. Okay? My fiance, Nina, is in the room. And I'm sorry to bring you into the message, but Nina and my family and people who I spend a lot of time with hate something about me. And only one thing, because everything else about me is so, you know, amazing. But one thing they do hate about me, and they get, Nina is like the nicest and kindest, most gracious person I've ever met, but one thing will make her really angry, okay, is when I do something that bothers her, she'll be kind of upset, and I'll sense that she's upset, and this is what I ask her, yo, like, why are you mad? Why are you mad? And that's when she gets really mad, okay? Why are you mad? There's even that saying, like, are you mad, bro? You know why people say, are you mad, bro? Because like a way to troll people, because you hate it when you're mad and someone says, are you mad? Or why are you mad? You hate that. Because it's like, yes, I'm mad at you. And if I'm mad, clearly there's a reason. And clearly you've done something that's obviously wrong, or else why would I be mad? But I say this to people all the time, like, are you mad? Like, why? Why are you mad? And I genuinely, like, don't understand why people are mad. But people receive that. You know what people hear when you say, why are you mad? This is what you're kind of saying to them. Like, you don't have a reason to be mad. And that's the most infuriating thing to hear. When you're angry because someone's wronged you, and someone says, why are you mad? I don't agree with your being angry, your reason for that. I don't agree with that. I don't think you should be mad. That's the most infuriating thing. And you also know that just because someone doesn't understand why you're mad, does that mean that you don't have a reason to be mad? Does that mean that they did not do anything wrong? I hope that, I'm sure all of you will say, no, that doesn't mean that. And you know that's true. Human beings are really bad at seeing what they have done wrong. We're good at seeing what others have done wrong. We're terrible at seeing what we ourselves have done wrong. Prime example, driving again. I cut someone off because, hey, sometimes I'm trying to get onto the 57, but, you know, stuff happens. You know, I get a phone call and I look down for a second. I'm sorry, I shouldn't do that, right? And I miss my chance. So what I do, hey, I'm not going to waste 5 minutes to get onto the next ramp and then, you know, make a U-turn. That's ridiculous, you know? So I got to slow down. People are honking at me. I'm like, I'm sorry. And I just, you know, just jump ahead right before, like, the divider comes up. Everyone's done that. The next day, someone does that to you, and you're about to, like, chop their head off. You know, this is how people are. And don't say you never do that. We all make mistakes. We're really bad at knowing when we've done wrong. And that's the beautiful part of the story. This guy doesn't understand what he's done wrong, and yet the king forgives him. That's the most infuriating thing, when someone doesn't get it, but he's forgiven. And yet he does not forgive. So right now, if you're thinking, why should I forgive my friend? Or why should I forgive that person who hurt me 20 years ago? Why should I forgive my person who's sitting right next to me right now? Why? Why should I forgive that person who's so annoying and I just hate that person's guts? Why should I forgive them? Why should I forgive these people? I think the greatest inspiration, the greatest reason to forgive is because even though you have sinned so greatly against God, to the point, and not only that, you don't even know how much you've sinned against him. And so you're like, God, why are you mad, bro? Why are you mad? Like, come on. I'm sorry I did that, but come on. Are you serious? 10,000 talents? No, it's more like, you know, one talent. Who are we to say that? How would you feel if someone said that to you? How would you feel if someone did something really bad to you and they're like, come on, bro, it's not as bad as you think? Would you be like, you're right, dude. What was I thinking? No. What that person thinks doesn't determine how much they've wronged you. What you think about how much you've wronged God doesn't determine how much you've wronged him. Yet you probably think, I haven't really wronged him. And yet God says, I forgive you. I love you. You don't get it, but I still love you and I forgive you. Jesus literally cried out on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I would say, God, punish the crap out of them because they know not what they do. That's what I say to when someone does something wrong and they don't know, I'm like, I pray that wrath will come upon your head so you know what you've done. And Jesus says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Guys, can you show, like, if being a Christian is about showing countercultural, doesn't make sense in this world, crazy, life-changing, giving a second chance to the person that doesn't deserve a second chance type of forgiveness. That's what being a Christian is about. Why? Because God loved us first. He forgave us first. We will never be able to repay him. You may not fully understand that, but at least consider this. Just because you don't understand that, does that make it not true? Just because you don't get how much you've sinned against God, does that then mean that you haven't sinned against him? I don't think that's true logically, right? You would say that's not. So guys, I pray that, you know, today you're going to meet people you don't like, maybe. Maybe in this room there are people that bother you, have hurt you. You know, can we forgive each other in the way that Christ has showed us? In a way that doesn't make sense, but it's really because we love God and we're grateful to him and we trust in his words. And also, I encourage you guys, just thank God for how much he's forgiven you, even if you don't understand. Let's pray.